big thanks to our producers for this week's episode. Danielle, Ginger, Mike to the D, Cat OJ, Devin, Savannah, Pixel Donut, Janelle, Michelle, Diane, Joy, Josh, Shorty9867, Lauren, Rebecca, Araceli, Kehlani Hawaii, Obese J, KDP, and Rory. If you're interested in joining, you can find us on patreon.com/nightmaresociety. Last week, I released a bonus episode with one of my own experiences there. Also, a big thanks goes to user BloodyHellGirl462 and user Eggrock for sharing their stories with us. Now, get comfy and prepare yourself for another episode of The Nightmare Society. I was a new manager of a very old building. I came from social work and was hired to manage a building that was about to celebrate its 100th anniversary. My office was in the basement, along with several below-ground apartments. Of these apartments was an elderly fellow that I knew was on palliative care for extreme kidney failure. He would get medication and food delivered every other week, so when it wasn't brought in, I rang him, and when I got no answer, I asked the police for a welfare check. This was a very warm June, and the way the building was constructed, you couldn't smell something wafting out of an apartment unless the door was opened and allowed the smell out. Once the police opened the door, everyone knew that he had been dead for a while. The smell permeated everything. The smell of rotten human got into the air ducts, and it's not something you forget. Fast forward 1 month to July. Now, mind you, there are 105 tenants in this four-story building. And I get a call from one tenant's niece that she hasn't heard from her uncle in a while, and could we please check on him? Of course, I knew this guy. I'll just pop up and make sure he's okay. We will just have a laugh. No answer. I call the police for a welfare check. It's been a regular 85 degrees outside for a few weeks. And yes, he's passed away. The smell. The smell of a dead human is so much different than the smell of dead other things. It's a sticky, sweet smell combined with an acrid taste and a heavy, I don't know how to describe it, dead meat mushroom sort of smell. It doesn't smell like other rotten meat. The medical examiner made a joke about me staging this just to see him again. The smell was so bad in the hallway, just from opening the door for the few minutes to take the body out, that I had entire families running from the building in tears. I knew I had to mitigate this crap. I knew he passed on a small carpet in the middle of the room. So I would put some menthol under my nostrils, double-gloved, wrapped my pants legs, and pulled up the carpet that was pretty thick with adipose tissue. I had told the coroner that I was going to do it before I did it. I slipped in his goo. I double-bagged his carpet and opened the windows. It's still rough to think about. It involved large fans and my staying up all night. Cut to 1 month later. I'm putting notices on doors for an upcoming bed bug inspection. I smell that smell on the fourth floor. That acrid, dead smell. Someone was dead. There's no mistaking it. I start knocking on doors and only one out of 25 answer because it was the middle of the day. I can't just go into apartments. I call the police and they come out and confirm it's definitely a dead body, but they can't figure out where it's coming from. I literally stood there trying to figure out if a dead body constituted an emergency so I could circumvent the 48-hour rule of entering an apartment. The police told me that without something else, they could not just start running into apartments. We walked up and down the halls and couldn't figure out where the smell of the dead body was coming from. I went to my office to print up 48-hour notices of intent to enter. I laid in bed that night and started thinking about it. The smell of dead body only entered the hallway when the door was open. Someone had the smell of dead body and opened a door. Someone opened a door. The day of, I go apartment to apartment. 10 apartments in, and white-haired middle-aged dude answers the door. Huge wafts of bleach belch out of his apartment. Instead of hanging out like most people would do when someone is inspecting your apartment, he takes off. The floor has been bleached. The kitchen has been bleached. Everything is spotless. Neighbors later said that he told people that chicken went bad. Chicken does not smell like human. I contacted the non-emergency line that day, and without anything else to go on, there wasn't a lot they could do. So, middle-aged, nondescript white dude on the fourth floor. Let's never meet again. Forgive me if the way I write about this seems lighthearted. I'd like to say it's a way that I cope with it, and that's just the kind of person I am. At the time, I was 17 years old. Female. Now, I would like to start this off by saying that most consider me an intimidating person by nature. My close friends don't really believe that, but they know that I most definitely do not mess around when it comes to certain situations. Whether it's telling someone to F off, or, as much as I hate to admit it, getting physical with someone. I've never really had someone approach me in public, thinking of getting the best of me, if that makes sense. About half a year ago, I was at my then house rolling some small joints with my girlfriend. I live somewhat in the middle of nowhere, and there are a lot of trees in my area, and they're also in my backyard. I wouldn't classify it as a whole forest, but it's not small enough to simply be a grove. There's wildlife there. My girlfriend and I hadn't smoked much that day, and we were home alone, and seeing as we could do anything we wanted, we decided, heck yeah, let's smoke these while taking in a bit of nature on a walk. It just seemed like an absolutely amazing idea at the time. My girlfriend sat next to me while I rolled the harvested God's gift into the paper. We were talking about random stuff and listening to heavy metal as I focused on rolling those sweet spliffs. I had finished rolling and we decided to finally leave my house and walk into the plain woods, which at the time had never been intimidating to me, or anyone I'd been in there with, unless they were just major wimps. I have the joints in my pocket. We leave. We're walking through my backyard towards one of the many trails from my place. I should also mention it was summer, so it was only 7 p.m., and it wouldn't be getting dark for maybe 2.5-3 hours. We light up, and for about an hour or so, it's fine. We just talk about stuff and hang out. You know, basic couple stuff. We're on the second joint, just walking along the paths. We see this huge flat rock, like a pancake boulder, We're like, heck yeah, and we sit on it and lay down. The two of us sit for a while like that, holding hands and passing the joint between us. Maybe 30 minutes pass and we start hearing noises. I'd like to mention by this point the sun will start to set soon, maybe another 30 minutes. We're obviously really freaked out by the sounds. At the time, we just looked at each other and internally blamed it on the weed, making us a little paranoid. There was wildlife in the forest, as I'd mentioned. We were trespassing in their backyard, so why should we mind a cute little bunny family making their way downtown? After a while of silence, we hear a noise that we both know, well, isn't an animal. Now that I think about it, it sounded like someone running something sharp against a solid but jagged surface, like a rock. It was pretty far away, but somehow it was loud enough that we heard it. It was faint, though. We look at each other and immediately sit up. We don't see anything. I stand up and urge her to do so as well. This most definitely wasn't the forest fairies we had planned on having fun with. We stand for a minute or so and then we hear a big snap, like a tree branch getting stepped on with a ton of force, and then fast footsteps, like some dude is sprinting through the forest. I freak out and go into panic mode. And of course, we were deep into these woods, and I urged my girlfriend Kimber to run as fast as all heck towards my house. Now, Kimber and I aren't necessarily sporty people. We were more of the academic bunch our whole lives. We weren't completely out of shape, but looking back on it, it would have been a heck of a lot easier for us if we did cross country or track or something. Kimber runs in front of me and is a little farther ahead. We aren't on trails at this point, and twigs and leaves are completely shredding our faces, neck, legs, and arms. We hear this person who's running, obviously running after us, start hooting and hollering like some freaking inbred from the hills have eyes or something. This essentially makes us crap ourselves, and we run faster. We're sprinting and huffing and puffing like fat kids during the mile or something. The person is unfortunately closer at this point, and I look back and I see him. He's an older guy, maybe 40 years old, give or take. His hair is long and thin as crap, and he's scraggly looking. This makes me crap pure cement, of course. I yell at Kimber to hurry up, and she does. I look behind me again, and he's somehow gaining on us. Kimber makes a turn and I recognize it being straight to my house. The turn was abrupt and I thank Jesus because the guy must have been too close to process the turn. We turn and see the lights of my house in the almost darkness. Seeing this freaking beacon of hope makes us run harder. The guy can't be seen and we make it into my cleared backyard. My girlfriend runs up my back porch steps and rips the sliding door open, letting me in and then locking it. She slams the blinds down to cover the door and we make sure all the doors and windows are locked. I feel my back pocket for my phone and realize that, of course, it's somewhere in that forest. My girlfriend's phone is dead. No house phone, because who the heck has that these days? It was a burden at the time. My girlfriend starts having a panic slash anxiety attack. I'm not sure what it was. I plug her phone in for her and it starts charging. I turn all the lights off except for those by our doors. I saw no sign of that man for the rest of the night and for the rest of the time that I lived there. Her phone charged and we called the cops and they surveyed the area but found nothing. It was terrifying for me. and I can only assume it was worse for my girlfriend who has anxiety. So, scraggly, inbred man in the woods, that's not me. Thanks so much for listening. Don't forget to check out our merch in the link below on threadless.com, as well as the official members campfire at patreon.com/nightmaresociety. Until next time.